When you go to a friend's house, how do you expect to be treated? When you go to your favorite restaurant, how do you expect to be treated? When you go to a business or to an event or somewhere else where someone has invited you or where you're going to go do something and you arrive there, how do you expect to be greeted and treated? Well, it probably depends on what kind of business or what kind of event. Yet I imagine that most places are like your friends and your favorite restaurant. They want you to be there. In fact, it's in their best interest to show you hospitality. Your friends and your favorite restaurant want you to keep coming back because they like you being there and they like being with you. And businesses often like your presence because you're giving them business. But unironically, it's also in the church's best interest to do the same. Not because we're a business looking to make a profit, no, rather our purpose is much more important. We are Christians. We bear the name of Christ. We are the family of God, and as representatives of the family of God, we are commissioned to share the gospel, the good news, and to help expand the kingdom of God. The Christian mission is one of radical hospitality. And radical hospitality is hospitality that goes beyond being friendly. It is intentional hospitality that makes friends because it surprises and delights people by making them feel noticed, by giving them personal attention, and by providing excellent follow-through, because it is hospitality that makes them feel so welcome that they want to return again and again and again. And when we do hospitality with excellence, we create an opening for the Holy Spirit to work, and we open the door for life change. To make guests welcome, to show this radical hospitality, we must adapt our behaviors. We must get out of our comfort zone. We must make them feel safe and even comfortable. But this isn't just in the church. This isn't just in our community. This is ultimately in our presence, wherever it is that we go. Do people feel welcome to be around you? We see this form of welcoming, this form of hospitality in our scriptures today. When Paul and Silas are traveling from city to city, stopping by churches they had helped start and sharing the good news and helping those churches grow, and they stop in the city of Philippi, it's a province of Macedonia, and they stop by this river to pause and to pray. And while they're there, they encounter a group of women who are at work, and they begin visiting with them. They strike up conversation, and while they're talking, the conversation leads to a discussion about their faith. And one of the women there, a woman named Lydia, embraces this message, and she invites them to come to her house. And when they get to her home, her and her whole family receive the message. They are all baptized. They all become believers. It's great news. And they invite Paul and Silas and the men who are with them to stay there for several days. Well, while they're staying there, they're continuing to go to this place of prayer. And one day, as they're on their way, they encounter a woman who's possessed by a spirit that gives her the ability to tell fortunes. Well, they heal this woman of the spirit. However, this woman is also a slave. And that compromised their ability to make money through her. And so her owners are very angry at Paul and Silas. In fact, they have the men arrested, and the authorities, they strip, severely beat, and imprison Paul and Silas. And when they're locked up, they're thrown in the innermost jail, the most secure spot, and then their feet are chained to the floor. Now imagine this was you for a second. What would you do if you were severely beaten, imprisoned, and chained up with no way out? What would your reaction be? How would you respond? Would you cry? Would you be frustrated and angry? Would you shout and yell and demand your lawyer? Perhaps you might be depressed. I think for many of us, it would be a natural response to be down. Maybe even throwing a pity party. Maybe even singing, "Nobody knows my sorrow." But not Paul and Silas. What do? They start singing. But not sad songs. They start worshiping, like the choir, like the praise band. They start praising God, and everyone can hear them. And suddenly, in the middle of their worshiping and singing and praising God and talking about God, there's an earthquake, and the prison is shaken to its foundation. The doors bust open, and the chains fall off. And the jailer who is there is freaking out. You know, he's put in charge of the prisoners, and if they escape, he's ruined, because that means he has to take their place and be in prison. Or, worse yet, they could just decide to hang him for letting him free. So, to spare his family the humiliation and shame, he decides to draw his sword, and he's about to end his own life, when Paul shouts out, "Stop! Don't harm yourself. We're all still here." And the jailer responds, "Honorable masters," in other words, "you are obviously men of influence and of integrity and of honor. That's rare. Yeah, there's also something special about you because I heard you talking and singing about God. So tell me, what must I do to be rescued? What must I do to be saved?" Paul basically says, "That's easy. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved." And from there, the jailer took Paul and Silas into his own home. He washed their wounds. He bandaged their injuries. He fed them a meal. And when his whole family had heard the message of Christ, they were all baptized. And he was overjoyed because every single one of them believed in God. Their life was changed. Their life was made better. Through Paul and Silas's welcoming personal presence, that whole family came to Christ. And through our welcoming and personal presence, we have an opportunity to do likewise. We have an opportunity to make life better and your life better through Jesus Christ. Instead of whining how unfair life was, instead of complaining about their circumstances, they praised God in the middle of a jail cell, and they treated those around them with kindness and dignity and honor. And these are keys to hospitality. When we live into the principles of radical hospitality, we give people a taste of the kingdom of God. When we show people that they are welcomed and accepted, that we are the physical manifestation of Christ's love, when we make their experience with us exceptionally positive, both in church and out of church, then their preconceived notions about Christians and about church are deconstructed, and they open up to us, and the walls come down, and they become available to an invitation or to returning, which are the first steps in a life of faith. To paraphrase Henry Nouwen, hospitality means creating space where the stranger can enter our presence and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. It's not to bring men and women over to our side, but it's to offer them freedom undisturbed by dividing lines. Colossians 4:5 says, "Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity, because your speech should always be gracious." For us as a church, we can break it down to simply this. There are two types of churches. Inwardly focused churches, all about me, what I can get. And outwardly focused churches are more about what Christ has done for me and is doing through me, and what Christ can do for you and how I can share that with you. A Jesus-centered church is an outwardly focused church. Because Christ has broken your chains. He has opened the doors to the cells you've been trapped in. And he has set you free, so that you can go beyond the walls of your comfort zone, you can go beyond the walls of the church, and you can go out and welcome people to him. And the reality is, before anyone decides to go or grow deeper in their faith, to be healed of their brokenness, or to get connected in a faith community, they first have to feel that they are welcomed and accepted. When we can show people outside the walls that we welcome them and accept them as they are, then their curiosity grows as to how we might welcome them within the community. This is why hospitality is critical to our mission process. It's important work because we are saving souls. Your studies show that whenever people feel rejection from their church, or feel unwelcome from a church, they don't always go to another church. More often, they quit going to church. And they leave the community of faith. I pray that we are never the cause of someone leaving the church or losing the faith. Souls are at stake. John Wesley said that you have nothing better to do but save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in this work. Well, here are some practical steps for us to take to follow that advice. Last week, we learned about the 5-10 link rule. That is, 5 minutes before and especially 5 minutes after the service, that we look for people to engage. Someone that we don't necessarily know. Someone besides our normal friends that we like to hang out and talk with. But we take those 5 minutes before and after, and we go and we engage them. And then there's the 10, which is 10 feet. Whenever we get within 10 feet of anyone, we smile, we greet them, we welcome them. We introduce ourselves and we get to know them. We get to learn something about them, and we share something about ourselves, which sets up the link where we can then take them and we can link them, we can connect them, we can introduce them to somebody else through something we've learned about them, with something they have in common with somebody else. And it's not something we just do once, but we practice it every Sunday morning and at every church event. But then it doesn't just stop here. This is something that we take beyond the walls, especially the 10-foot rule part. We start intentionally connecting with people. Where to start? Easy place. Start at the grocery store. How many of us like to do self-checkout? Oh, yeah? Some of us? Yeah. 5 years of retail experience in high school and college, man, I can check out faster than most of the people that are working there. How many of us like to just pull in and they bring the groceries out and put them in your trunk? Oh, yeah, that's great. None of you are going to like this next part. Go inside. Yeah, the other's convenient. But when we go inside, we start looking for the same checker, and we go to that same checker, and we start looking for their name. We learn their name, and we call them by name, and we say hi to them, and we ask them how their day is. And I know when it's all done, and after you've paid the bill, they're supposed to tell you thank you, but instead you tell them thank you. And look for the same one every time you go to the grocery store. Eventually, you'll build a relationship with them. Same thing with your bank. It's easy to go through the drive-thru. It's quick to go through the ATM. But how many of us know our banker or our bank manager? Go in. Some of us. Oh, someone's ready. Pray. All right. Good for you. So go in. Introduce yourself. Talk to them. Get to know them. Same thing at your favorite restaurant. When you go there, ask for the same waiter, the same wait service person. Get to know them. Build a relationship with them. Be kind. Tip them well. Because we've all heard about wait staff's least favorite day, and that's Sunday after church when all the church people show up and they're all rude and stingy folk. Be different. Be better. But what about the people around your home? Do you know them? Do you know their family? And of course, there's always work and school or the gym or even the lake. We tend to see the same people when we go to these places we go. What about the gas station? Everyone goes to the gas station. I have a friend, Kay, that every day she stops at the same gas station to get her Diet Coke. And at this particular gas station, she got to know the girl that worked behind the counter, and every day she would bring her Diet Coke up to be rung up, and she would talk to her, and she got to know her, and she got to know the girl's family, and the girl got to know Kay and got to know about her family. Now, this girl, she didn't go to church. She wasn't even sure if she believed in God. Yet she knew Kay, and she knew Kay went to church. And she looked forward to seeing Kay and her smile and her greeting every single day because it lifted her up. Well, one day, Kay is standing in line with her Diet Coke waiting to pay for it, and she can tell that the girl is upset about something. So Kay asks her, "What's wrong?" And it turns out the girl's husband is really sick. In fact, he was in the hospital. Kay offers her a hug. And the girl asks Kay if she would pray for her and her husband. She doesn't know how to pray herself, but she knows that Kay is a Christian and that Christians pray to God. And so she asks Kay to pray. And Kay takes a moment and prays with her. And each day, when Kay stops to get her Diet Coke, she asks the girl how her husband is doing and how she is doing. And he slowly gets better. Then one day, the girl asks Kay about her church. And Kay invites her, gives her her own number, and says she will be glad to give her a call. She'll be glad to come and pick her up and take her and her husband to church with her. The girl declines the ride, but she does show up at church with her husband and her two daughters. And after a few weeks of coming and attending church with them, they hear about Jesus, and they fall in love with Jesus. They make new friends, and they fall in love with the church. And then one day, the whole family gets baptized, and they all join the church. This could be any one of us. This could be any of the people that we experience wherever it is that we go, but it all starts with a little radical Christian hospitality, a little grace, a little love. As we share with those, as we share that grace and that love, that radical hospitality with wherever we go, and then we let God do God's thing. Because the power of God changes lives. The power of God changes lives through you and through me when we take our faith beyond these walls. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up." Romans 13:8 says that we all have a debt, an obligation to love each other. See, hospitality is an extension of God's grace, and it's doing God's good work. It opens the door to share God's love. So our actions, my actions, your actions, when they show hospitality beyond the walls, they lead to an invitation into the community of Christ. And so may we all show radical hospitality with each other, within our community, and beyond the walls.